All right, I will not be taking much time tonight. Before Aaron comes up to offer a report from our missions, about our missionaries. And really, you can kind of break that down into two categories because we have local missions that we support. Missions is typically thought of when you go to a different culture, many times to people who speak a different language, maybe look differently than you do, and you go to them with the gospel. But when it's something that's happening locally among a community where you live, that falls a little bit more in the category of evangelism. So I know that there are evangelistic works that happen locally where organizations are seeking to meet many times the physical needs of people while really using that as an opportunity for the gospel in order to impact their lives spiritually. And then there are missionaries, like some that we support, who have left their home and gone to another land in order to preach the gospel. And when they are there, they sometimes meet physical needs in order to meet the spiritual need. What I'd like to do is just ask you to open your Bibles to Matthew 28, and I'll start off with a question. When I say Great Commission, what does that mean to you? Great Commission. What does that mean to you? Okay, good. So Dennis just quoted part of it. Go and make disciples of all nations. All right. Well, anybody else have anything come to mind when I say the Great Commission? Okay. Okay. I think that's mixing up Mark 16 there, but the idea there is... Yeah, Acts 1:8 is right there with it, though. And the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So that's right there in that going with the gospel. Anybody else? Great Commission? The passage that most often, and I imagine comes to your mind, what is it? Where is it found? Yeah, Matthew 28. So let's start there. Matthew 28, 18. I'll start at 16 through 20. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" So Jesus has all authority. It's been given to him. "Go, therefore," this one with all authority tells his disciples to go, therefore, "and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This morning, the third point that I'm not even going to try to get to it tonight. I'm just kind of hitting a little bit here, and then we're going to actually pick back up on this Sunday morning. But this expectation, we see here that is the expectation that Jesus has of his church, of his disciples, that they would go and make disciples. The idea of making a disciple is that you are making a pupil or a learner of Jesus, someone who is following Jesus. Discipleship should look like disciples making disciples who make disciples. You see, it is a continuum there, where we are continuing to make disciples. You disciple someone, they believe the gospel, follow Christ, they then go out and make disciples. And then the disciples that they make, they go out and make disciples. And that's the idea behind the Great Commission and what Jesus has called us to do. So Matthew 28 is that hallmark passage that we know of as the Great Commission that Jesus gave to his disciples, but to the church. It is the expectation that we will all be going, no matter how long it is until Christ returns, because he said that he would be with us until the end of the age. So until that age ends, this age ends, Christ will be with his church as they are going. The next one is in Mark 16. If you want to turn there, I'll move quickly through these. Mark 16. This is a passage that will be called in question by some of the translations that you have. Maybe it is in italics or something like that. And the reason it is like that is because some of the Greek manuscripts that our Bibles are translated from did not have this included in them. And some have reckoned that this was added to the original version of Mark's gospel rather than Mark having written it in there himself. Now, if you have a New King James or King James Version, you will have this included, even though there will be a footnote to tell you about this passage. If you have an ESV or NASB or maybe NIV, ESV, then it may be italicized or bracketed off or something like that. But we'll see that it's very much the same. In verse 14 of Mark 16, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Now, 19 and 20 helps bring some clarity to this, because it says, "So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. All the signs that Jesus talked about there were accompanying signs. And the Lord worked with them through these to confirm the word. Now, we won't get caught up into all of that, but we will notice here in verse 15 that Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Now, let's go to the next one, and that's in Luke 24. These three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, does anybody remember what they're called? They're called the what gospels? That's right, synoptic. Can y'all say that? Synoptic. That means they see the life of Jesus in the same way. Synoptic. Sin, same. Optic, seeing. Synoptic gospels. They see it in the same way. Now, in Luke 24, we find a version here of the Great Commission as well. We'll pick up in verse 45. "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins.'" What does remission mean? What'd you say? Yeah, forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's no longer there. It's remitted. "Remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And then he says in verse 48, "And you are witnesses of these things." Witnesses. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And we saw in Acts chapter 2 this morning where that actually occurred. All right, so again, we see here that all nations are candidates for the hearing of the gospel and for repentance and remission of sins to be granted to them. And that is to be preached to them. The people that we're going to hear about tonight are those who are going forth among the nations to preach repentance and remission of sins in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's laid out here. Now, here's the question. Is there a great commission in the Gospel of John? That one's kind of tricky. Let's turn over here to John chapter 20. John 20, verse 19. If you have a heading in your Bible, what does it say? The Apostles' Commission. All right, so let's read this paragraph and I'll be done and turn the rest of the time over to Aaron. Or whoever's, I don't know if Aaron, you're the only one who's reporting or not. John 20, verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" That's it right there. "I also send you." It's the sending forth. Apostle means a sent one. So they are being sent. And then verse 22, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" Now, that verse 22 is a little confusing because we read that, we're like, "Well, I thought they received the Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And from what I understand, they did. I don't fully understand this, but some have said that what Jesus did here was symbolic or prophetic, in that they will be receiving the Spirit that is going to come upon them. So that's something that we could spend more time in study. But we see all of these Gospels, all of them, whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, in all of them, there's a commissioning of the disciples to go. And they must go because they have good news. And good news must be proclaimed. The good news hasn't changed at all in 2,000 years. We still have that good news. And there is an expectation always that the Church of Jesus Christ will proclaim it. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word, that we can look here and see how Jesus has sent his church. And I thank you, God, that we are able to go ourselves as we are going about our lives, sharing the gospel. And Father, also, I thank you that we're able to support missionaries and evangelistic works here locally, God, as they are going forth with the gospel. I pray you will please bless us tonight as we hear about the mission support that we have opportunity to engage in and have a part in. And I just pray for each of our missionaries, God, that you would use them to their fullest extent in the fields in which they work. And Lord, increase us so that we can increase more and more in the activity around the world in the going forth of the gospel. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, as we've already said, for the really security of our mission, the mission work that's going on, that there are some that do not want anything streamed alive or on the internet to know about their work, so that would be compromised. We are going to be turning our live stream off. And for the folks who have joined us online, we're glad that you've been here. If you would like a report, more information about the mission work, then we would be glad to probably just send out the slides, right? Aaron, you said you have PowerPoint slides, and we could send that to folks or even print it out for folks and get it to you so that you could get more familiar with the mission work here. But I'll turn everything over to Aaron now.